Lesson 5. Why Pray. Chapter 1. What is prayer? God created man, male and female, in his own image and likeness. He placed them in the Garden of Eden and had fellowship with Adam and Eve every day. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" God still wants to have fellowship with man today, through his Spirit. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is a two-way conversation. We speak to God, and he speaks back to us. Chapter 2. Why should we pray? Many people directly associate prayer with the idea of asking God for things. Oh Lord, give me this, give me that, help my children at school, give my husband a better salary, etc. Oh Lord, give me more money. Oh Lord, change my child and make him more studious. A long list. When all the while, they don't even bother to have fellowship with God. I know people who were saved and healed by Jesus or had other miracles happen in their lives, and after 6 months or a year, they stopped serving God and they stopped going to church. Praying is much more than just asking God for things. How would you feel if your children only came home to ask you for money, to eat and sleep, not even bothering to greet you? Is God our Lord or our servant? The purpose of prayer isn't only to ask God for things, but it's also for us to have fellowship with Him, to receive orientation for our lives, and to intercede for our families and for others. The reason for many Christians is failure, is that they don't pray enough. Let's take the life of Saul or Judas Iscariot as an example. It doesn't seem like they had a habit of praying. And Abraham, do you think that he prayed to God, seeking his advice, before deciding whether or not to have a child with Hagar? Lack of prayer can provoke chaos. Jacob only learned the secret of persisting in prayer in the brook of Jabbok, place of emptiness. There he emptied himself of his natural strength and became crippled, to the point where he was no longer able to do anything else but to cling on to God for the rest of his life. In Acts chapter 6, verses 2-4, we read that the apostles gave great importance to prayer. It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There are many ways by which we can be stimulated to pray: by reading the word of God, by worshiping the Father, by analyzing our mistakes and our weaknesses, and by deciding to accept God's help, by being aware not only of our needs but of the needs others may have. Chapter 3. How should we pray? A. With persistence and insistence. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. The Bible tells us about a man who didn't stop asking his friend for some bread even though it was already midnight. Luke chapter 11, verses 5-8. It also tells us about another who refused to stop shouting. Mark chapter 10, verses 46-52. And about a widow who wouldn't stop disturbing the judge with her petitions. Luke chapter 18, verses 1-8. On another occasion, it tells us about a woman who managed to counteract each objection made both by God and by man. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." When Peter was sent to prison by King Herod, the church prayed continually. As a result, Peter was under a special protection when he was in prison. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7-9, who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. B. In the same place and at the same time. Great men of prayer in the Old and in the New Testament rose early in the morning to pray. You can read about the following men of prayer in your Bible. Abraham, Genesis chapter 21, verse 14. Jacob, Genesis chapter 28, verse 18. Moses, Exodus chapter 34, verse 4. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, and in particular about our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. We should dedicate a certain amount of time, for example, 2 hours, and a certain place in which to have fellowship with God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, "Buy the truth, and do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Chapter 4. Types of prayer. There are different types of prayer, and each type has its own rules that should not be mixed up. For example, you cannot use rules for basketball when you're playing football. In the same way, regarding prayer, you cannot apply the rules that are used for the prayer of intercession, for the prayer of faith, which is a prayer that can only be used for your personal life. There are different types of prayer that can be categorized as follows. A. Prayer of faith for oneself. B. Prayer of consecration and dedication to God. C. Prayer in the Spirit. D. Prayer of agreement. E. Prayer of intercession. F. Prayer of yielding your problems to God. G. Prayer of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. H. Prayer of reasoning your case with God. 1. Prayer of faith for oneself. This is when we ask God for something for ourselves. Naturally, we can use our faith for ourselves, but sometimes it won't work in the lives of others. That is the case of a person praying for a friend or a family member, etc. Do you know, if that person wants you to pray for them, if he or she doesn't want what you're praying for in their life, then your prayer will be worthless. The prayer of faith for oneself is based on Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Practical principles. 1. We should decide upon and be specific about what we want from God. One day Jesus passed by a blind man who yelled, "Have mercy on me and help me," to whom Jesus replied, "What do you want from me?" It was then that the blind man specifically asked Jesus to give him sight. Jesus knew what the blind man needed, but Jesus only answered his prayer when he was specific. During one of his counseling sessions, Pastor Yonggi Cho asked a young woman whose desire it was to get married what kind of a husband she would like. She replied, "The Lord knows what's best." Then the pastor went on to show her that according to the Word of God, she needed to be more specific. Later on, when she began praying properly, God gave her just the husband she had asked for. God does not answer prayers that are not specific. God's not going to choose your fiancé for you because he's not the one who is getting married. Take this as an example. This lady only got married after having been specific about the type of fiancé she wanted. 2. Find a biblical scripture that promises what you want to ask God for. God is only responsible for answering your prayer if you ask him something that is according to his will. In other words, that is according to what he promised in the Bible. The will of God is entirely described in the Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. 3. Before asking God for something, you need to spend time meditating on his promises. This is because God only answers a prayer of faith, and faith only comes by hearing the Word of God. This means that before you pray to God, you need to meditate on a lot of promises in the Bible that tell you that you'll get exactly what you're asking him for. Only then will you have enough faith in that area, and only then will God be able to answer your prayers. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As you can see, first it's necessary for you to fill your heart with the word of God, and only then will God be able to answer your petition. 4. Ask God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Contrary to what many people do, the official way to ask God for something is to direct your request to the Father Himself in the name of Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Jesus is the only mediator between God and men. So you shouldn't ask angels, saints, or even Jesus to give you anything. Always direct your prayers to God the Father in the name of Jesus. 5. Believe that you have received the answer to your prayer at the exact same moment that you've prayed for something. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. 6. While you wait for the materialization of God's answer to your prayer, praise Him continuously for the answer. Faith is praising God, thanking God because you have already received that which you have asked God for. How long should you spend praising God for having answered your prayer? For as long as it takes for you to receive it in full. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 7. Don't be surprised if your mind is attacked with doubt while you're waiting for the answer to your prayers. It's exactly during this waiting period that the devil most likes to attack. How does the devil attack you? He hurls doubt into your mind. The mind is a battlefield. It's as if the devil were a dragon throwing flaming arrows into your mind so as to infect it with doubt. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. During this time we have to fight against the devil, using the sword of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. How can we do this? By using our mouth to confess verses in the Bible, so that the devil can hear us. This is how Jesus fought against the devil, and it's how you'll have to act when the devil attacks you with doubts. 8. Don't become discouraged if the situation gets worse right after you've prayed. Another way that the devil usually uses to attack us is by trying to discourage us with adverse circumstances. I know of cases where people went to church to pray for their health, and in the following days everything seemed to get worse. They were in more pain, or contracted an even higher fever, etc. Why does this happen? Because when the devil is involved in someone's life, he has to leave, but before he does, he's going to try to do his utmost to bring this person down, or to make them feel worse than ever. Look at what happened with Jesus. Mark chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." The devil also uses this tactic to make people think that God hasn't answered their prayers after all. But if we submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from us. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, on a bad day, after you've done everything you could to solve the problem at hand, don't be discouraged, don't give up, stay strong, and don't give in to the devil. Resist the devil because he will have to flee from you. 2. Prayer of consecration and dedication to God. Christianity is not just coming to God when you need Him or to obtain blessings. Christianity is living a holy life, sanctification, separation from sin and the world. Consecration to God is serving God. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Consecration means separating yourself to do the will of God and to work for Him. Working for God doesn't mean that you must give your job up straight away and become a pastor. It means serving God while you're at work by witnessing Jesus. It also means helping out at your local church, as an usher, or in the praise and worship group, or as a helper in the family group, etc. This is consecrating yourself and working for Jesus. Dedication is being willing to do what God wants. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 19, willing and obedient. Many people want God to use them in great things, such as signs and wonders, but in order for that to happen, you must first be obedient and available out of your own free will. Paul's example, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7, forbidden to preach. Acts chapter 8, verse 26, Philip and the eunuch. The teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. Verses 37 to 39. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. Then he said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory. And in his Father's, and of the holy angels. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Practical advice. Father, if it is your will, Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours, be done. A. Regarding Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, many people confuse the types of prayer and pray in the same way for everything. They think that because Jesus prayed, if it is your will, they should pray this in every prayer. B. Here Jesus wasn't praying in order to receive something from God. C. Jesus was consecrating himself to God dedicating himself to do exactly that which the Father desired. Jesus knew that he would take all of our sins upon himself, that he would die and go to hell. It made him suffer terribly, knowing it would mean separation from the Father. That is why Jesus said, "Father, if it is your will." This kind of prayer is used when you separate your life for God's use, when you allow him to do his will in your life or to send you wherever he wants you to go. One day God showed me that he wanted me to go to Portugal. I had a good, comfortable life in South Africa, a good salary, etc. All in all, I had an easy life, and I thought that if one day I left, I would go anywhere but Portugal. But, because God wanted me to go, I went. This is one of the reasons God has blessed us so much. East. If it is your will, using these words in any other kind of prayer produces a lack of faith. Deaf. When you pray for something that God has already promised in his word, you do not need to pray, if it is your will, because the word of God is his will. If you try to pray the prayer of faith in this way, it won't work because only those who lack faith pray like that. We only pray for God's will to be done when we need direction and orientation from God for our lives. It has nothing to do with receiving something from God, something he has already promised in his word. The prayer of consecration and dedication, however, keeps your heart open so that you can fulfill the ministry of God in your life. 3. Prayer in the Spirit. Here are two steps that a born-again Christian must take in order to be able to pray in the Spirit. They must be baptized in the Holy Spirit and must speak in tongues regularly. Although Jesus was God, he never acted as such on earth. He dedicated himself totally to God the Father and gave himself over to be cloaked with the Holy Spirit, the power from above. When did this power come upon him? When he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you, I am well pleased." Baptism in the Holy Spirit still applies today for all those who believe and who want to live Spirit-filled lives. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." 1. We can pray in the Spirit by praying in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. It is our spirit speaking with God." 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." Our spirit prays, but our mind doesn't understand what we're saying. When you speak in tongues, your spirit is speaking to God. 2. We can pray in the Spirit by speaking in tongues in many different ways, quickly or slowly, while laughing or crying, etc. This all depends on what God inspires us to do. 3. We can pray in the Spirit by speaking in the language of angels or of man, English, Chinese, Hebrew, with different sounds, clicking, sighing, like certain native African languages, all the while we're speaking mysteries to God. 4. We can pray in the Spirit whenever we please. It's not necessary for us to receive special instructions from the Holy Spirit in order to do so. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, is a gift from God that we're allowed to use whenever we please. God gave us this present, so we should use it on a daily basis. 5. We can pray in the Spirit without understanding what we're saying. "I don't understand what I'm saying when I pray, but that's how it should be." We can, however, also ask God to give us the gift of interpretation of tongues. Why do we speak in tongues? 1. For spiritual edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. You can compare this to charging a battery. So when you edify yourself by praying in tongues, you're charging your spiritual batteries. You should charge your batteries every day. 2. Praying 100% according to the will of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. No one prays exactly as they ought to, but when we pray in tongues, we are praying the perfect prayer, for it is the Holy Spirit Himself who uses our mouth to pray. 3. To stimulate our faith, Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. 4. To have spiritual refreshment. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. 5. To remind us of the presence of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. John chapter 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. 6. To give thanks to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 17. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. 4. Prayer of agreement. This type of prayer is based on Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 and 19. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. When two or more people agree upon something and they pray in agreement, then what they have agreed upon will really happen. This type of prayer can be used to obtain the promises of God. It can also be used with regards to your personal life. Example, a certain couple had a real estate company. Whenever they prayed in agreement, saying that they would sell one of their houses at a price that they had set, they would see the answer to that prayer within a week or two. But one day the wife stopped agreeing with her husband in her heart, and even though they prayed together, the power of agreement was broken and they didn't achieve a positive result. 5. Prayer of intercession. Intercession is praying for others to knock down the walls that the devil built around them. It is breaking down the prison where the devil has kept them. To intercede is to be sensitive to the needs of others around us, to ask God to work on their behalf. It is to seek the presence of God, to request a hearing from God, to pray to Him in someone's favor, and to listen to what He has to say about the matter. A. Characteristics of an intercessor. He spends time praying, interceding for others. He stands in the gap for someone. He never gives up. He perseveres in prayer until the end result is achieved. B. Biblical aspects and examples of intercession. 1. Praying for a city, Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 18, verses 23 to 33. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city, would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, Indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5? So he said, If I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, Suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, Let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. 2. Praying for a war. 1 person on each side of Moses. Exodus chapter 17, verses 8-13. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. There were 2 men who raised Moses' arms up high during this battle. When you intercede for others, be they brothers or sisters in faith, you are raising their tired arms and fighting their battle for them. 3. Moses interceded for Israel because of the serpent. Numbers chapter 21, verses 4-9. Then they journeyed from Mount Hob by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, Make a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent, and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. 4. Peter in prison. The church prayed for him. Acts chapter 12. Verses 4-16. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with 2 chains between 2 soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him. And did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel, and has delivered me from the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, You are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, It is his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Interceding for someone does not guarantee results, for a person's own free will is also involved. When we intercede for others, the following happens. A. You set this person free of the devil's influence. You free his mind so that he is free to choose Jesus. B. You ask God to send someone to talk to them about salvation. C. After that, it becomes thy responsibility to make a decision. Note. Intercession is not imposing your will on someone else's life, because no one has the right to do that. That would be manipulation. But unfortunately, that is exactly what some brothers and sisters do to others, without realizing it. C. How to intercede. 1. Speak the word of God over the situation. Pray the word of God to transform the problem into a victory. 2. Pray in the Spirit for that person or for that situation. 6. Thanksgiving, praise, worship, and the sacrifice of praise. When we praise God, we lift Him up high, and we talk to Him. That is why we can consider praise and worship as a type of prayer. Thanksgiving is thanking God for all the things He has done for us and for what He has given us. Example. Father, I thank you for having given me that new piece of furniture, for having healed my kidneys, etc. The prayer of praise is when we exalt and honor Him for what He is, praising Him for the great qualities He has. Example, Lord, I praise you because you sent Jesus to save us. You are good and full of mercy. You are my strength, my wisdom. You keep me in good health, the source of my prosperity. Your love. The prayer of worship. This is when we give Him the highest honor and respect. You can worship the Lord with words, with deeds and actions, and with the attitude you take. The woman who kissed Jesus' feet and who washed them with her tears. It's man's nature to worship someone. The question is, who do you worship? Ways of praying which give praise and worship to God. 1. By lifting hands, Psalm chapter 63, verse 4. 2. Kneeling, or bowing down, Psalm chapter 95, verse 6. 3. By singing songs, Psalm chapter 69, verse 3. 4. With shouts of joy, Psalm chapter 132, verse 9. 5. By dancing, Psalm chapter 147, verse 1. 6. With instruments, Psalm chapter 150, verses 3 to 5. By clapping hands, Psalm chapter 47, verse 1, 8. With new tongues, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. The sacrifice of praise, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to His name. A biblical example of the sacrifice of praise. Praising God when you're in the middle of a crisis, or while you're going through great sorrow or oppression. Let's look at what happened with the people of Israel on arrival at the Promised Land. They discovered that the land was occupied by giants. Mighty nations with strongholds and fortified cities dwelled there. The same could be said of the city of Jericho, which was said to have such broad walls that chariot races were held on top of them. But because they followed God's instructions, Joshua 6, 2-20, they won the battle and conquered the city. Likewise, in this day and age, we have to conquer the castles, strongholds, and walls which are occupied by the enemy, in order to get into the promised land, which is the abundant life that God has for His children. Just because we are Christians doesn't mean everything is going to be easy. We will have to fight in the Spirit to conquer these blessings. Another example, Acts chapter 16, verses 23 to 26. The Lord gave Paul the mission to preach the gospel in Macedonia. At first sight, they expected everything to go very smoothly and very easily. But what really happened was that Paul was thrown into prison, only because he had delivered a girl from a spirit of divination. But Paul didn't start moaning. "Lord, you were the one who sent me to Macedonia to preach. How could you let this happen?" Paul didn't complain. He didn't grumble. Paul and Silas offered a sacrifice of praise to God at midnight, which symbolizes the darkest, most difficult hour. For this reason, God performed a great miracle in their lives. The sacrifice of praise makes a way where there isn't a way. The sacrifice of praise opens the doors of the prison cell where the devil had locked you up. 7. Prayer of reasoning your case with God. John Wesley said, "God cannot do anything for humanity unless somebody asks Him to." Why is that? Someone might ask. Because the world no longer belongs to God. Adam was created to rule over this world, but he committed high treason against God and sold his soul to the devil. In this way, the devil became the God, king, of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "But God the Father saved mankind through Jesus Christ. As a result, all the power that had been given to man before his fall was restored. That is why when we ask Him for something, He is able to work in our favor. That's what makes it seem like He cannot do anything for us, unless somebody asks Him to." God Himself tells us this in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 25 and 26. "I, even I, am He to blot out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case, that you may be acquitted." Abraham knew how to pray when reasoning with God for the sake of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 18, verses 23 to 25. Moses reasoned his case with God when God wanted to kill the people of Israel and start everything from scratch because of the golden calf they'd made. God changed his mind, Exodus chapter 32, verses 9 to 14. "And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God, and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?" So the Lord relented from the harm, which He said He would do to His people. Remind me, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26, what is God trying to tell you here? When we pray, we are standing before God's throne, and at this time it's our job to remind Him of His promises. Plead your situation like any good lawyer would do in defense of his case. Use what is written, the law, the Word of God. Use biblical passages that claim what you need. When we come before God using His Word to argue our case, we will never lose face because His Word will never lose its authenticity.